T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back to OMF. It's Maloney and Fourier. Woodray is off, getting you ready for the holiday week. And it's time now for our conversation with Mike Lombardi. It's sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? And by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Mike Lombardi joins us now on the Harbor One hotline. Mike, how are you doing?
Happy holiday. Hope all is well there.
Hey, Merry New Year,
everything
Mike.
Everything is good. Mike, I got a question for you. So the Patriots... they beat Cincinnati last week. Final score, they beat them up. But do you feel better about the New England Patriots after watching them in that game?
I don't think, you know, offensively they ever really got into the rhythm. I thought they ran the ball a little bit better. They just still haven't been able to throw the ball. But, I mean, look, go back to week 4 when they played the Bills the first time. They threw for 150 yards. Brady averaged 385 yards per attempt in that game. I think that's what's really going to be the difference in this game coming up this week. You know, week 4 to week 15, they've got to make some progress in that passing game.
Yeah, the question is, when I look at Josh Allen and Buffalo Bills, I mean, he was the guy that had the 3 turnovers. Hell, he didn't even finish the game. Matt Barkley was the one trying to win it for him at the end. I think people forget about that. But I would say that if Josh Allen can keep it to 2 turnovers or less, the Bills can win this game. Is that even possible?
You know, I mean, obviously the special team is going to play a factor like it did the first game. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think Josh Allen has to prove he can make plays in the pass game. He was 47% or something like that on and just percentage of completion. I mean, you know, they were just as a team, I think they only converted 2 third downs the entire day. So, I mean, their passing game is going to be really better, and so does the Patriots. It's 2 teams that I think are struggling to find their passing game. Allen's got the big arm, but yet he's not accurate. He's only completed 4 passes over 30 yards out of 44 attempts so far this season, and he's thrown 2 interceptions when he's done that. So when he has to put the ball in the air down the field, usually it's going to be a long foul ball, incompletion, interception, or a turnover.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Okay, Brian Daboll, how does he knows that's his deficiency. He knows that you know, there's some reckless gunslinger mentality that exists with him. And, you know, even if something's not there, he'll try to force the issue because he's just young and inexperienced or dumb. So how would you game plan? Like, how would you game plan the Patriots knowing what you know with Josh Allen if you were on their team and in their offensive room?
How would I game plan the Patriots? How would I recommend that the Patriots play?
No, how would you recommend the Buffalo Bills game plan with Josh Allen offensively?
I think I would try to make them more. I think I would try to borrow some of the Lamar Jackson stuff. You know, I wrote this today for The Athletic. When he came out, this kid, Josh Allen, was more athlete than he was quarterback. These accuracy problems just didn't creep up in Buffalo. You know, they were at Wyoming, and they were real. And he was big, fast, athletic. Nobody said he was a wide receiver, though. But he was more athlete than he was quarterback. And I think if I were Brian Daboll, I'd look at that Baltimore game. I'd try to utilize some of the stuff in that Baltimore game that would give Josh Allen some easier throws, some ways to get the ball down the field, some ways to get the edge on this Patriot defense.
I see. I think you're right about that. And I think they've probably been working on, because I don't think that's something you can just put in the week, a short week. Hell, you played on what, Sunday night? They played on Sunday night, right? And then you have a quick turnaround. I think that is something that they're going to try. And I think it's been something they've been working on for the last 6 weeks, knowing that they would save it for a game just like this.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you know, it's really nothing that they – I mean, at the end of the day, they've been doing a lot of the stuff that Baltimore does. They run quarterback power. They run things with him. They just have to dress up the formations to make it look different and try to see if they can get the edge on the run game in terms of the of how they're going to run the football. But I think it's pretty easy to put in place because they do run option. They do run him with the football. They run back, one back power. They run quarterback power. They run quarterback lead. They do things with him that is a running game to try to get his skill set so he can run with the football. I mean, This is a guy that is good with the ball in his hands. He wants to run the football. I mean, there's no doubt he's got 102 carries on the season. So, you know, he's had three games where he's had 10 carries or more. So he will run. Last week he had 7 against Pittsburgh. He will run the football.
So, Mike, back at the trade deadline, the Patriots gave up a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. You were in on that. I think a lot of us like that move. I'm just curious, do you see a guy that's still dealing with a high ankle sprain, or is it something else? He had that one great game against Baltimore, but it hasn't worked since.
Well, I think it's – I mean, look, he's wide open in the end zone for a touchdown. Tom just missed him. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect in terms of the rhythm and the flow that's been going on with the Patriots offense pretty much all year. We've talked about it. I'm not sure it's Sanu as much as it is that, you know, he's got to learn what to do. I think he's responsible for not being what he could bet the best he could be. He's got to learn what to do, and they've got to get comfortable with where he's going to be and the trust factor within the offense. And we've used that word quite a bit every Friday. You've got to trust what we're doing, but it's just a little harder each and every week.
Yeah, and then N'Keal Harry, I feel like we obviously focused on him for a long period of time. I feel like he's now your official number two wide receiver.
Yeah, but look, I never thought Sanu was ever going to be a number two. I thought Sanu was going to be in the slot to help James White, to help Edelman, to help the third down situation, something that they really need. I never saw Sanu as an outside receiver. I saw Sanu as a replacement for Gronk on those critical third down plays where he can make some and get matched up against certain people. I think the number two receiver has got to be Harry on the outside, and they've got to get him the ball. I think he's going to be the difference in this game. He's got to be able to catch the ball at the perimeter, make some people miss, break some tackles, make some plays.
You know, Mike, we talk about this defense all the time. We're talking to Mike Lombardi, by the way. And, you know, it seems to me like a team that puts their mind to running the football, has a good running back, has a running game, can run against the New England Patriots. You saw it with Mixon last week. So is that the biggest concern with this defense going into this game? I mean, Singletary's there. Obviously, we know Josh Allen can run. But is this defense, is that still an issue for them, stopping the run?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the way they're set up, the way their team is set up, I think that they're going to really favor playing the pass. I think there's no doubt about that. And I think that when you break them down, I think when teams get in certain formations against the Patriots, I think that that's really where they have more success running the football. I mean, that's the number one area. When you go to three receivers, teams have been in three receivers against the Patriots 121 times for 121 carries for almost 500 yards. You know, and that's really where they gain their yards. That's where people want to spread them out, force them to be a little bit lighter in the box. I mean, if you line up in two receivers, the longest run against them in a two-receiver formation is 13 yards. You're not going to make many yards running the football with two receivers and two backs on the backfield. Now, when you go into four receivers and you go into no tight ends and you spread them out and force them to defend the width of the field, those numbers go up because, remember, there was a 65-yard run in that formation against Cleveland that sends those numbers up really high. So I think it's a little bit about how you want to play the game, how you want to formation it, and what you're going to get out of it. Belichick's not going to fall into the trap of, hey, if Buffalo puts four receivers out there, we're going to go small and let them run the ball. He's way more experienced than that. He's going to dictate what they do, not what he wants them to do.
So I think the Bills – I think, first of all, I think the Patriots offense has been really struggling third down, especially against the blitz. The blitzes have been creeping up on them and hurting them, as in the past they've been really good at it. So if you're an offense and you know a defense is going to blitz you, what do you need to do? What do you need to be good at? If Brady knows that the Bills are going to see if they can beat it, what does Brady have to do in order to stop them from blitzing, sending the blitz?
He's got to set the protections correctly, which he usually does a pretty good job of. And then the receivers have to win right now. They got to get open right now. And you've got to be able to separate and give Brady a window to throw the football. And he's got to trust that the receivers are going to be in the right place at the right time. I think, you know, the interception that he threw when Harry got cut off, got undercut I think it was the Chief game, then he got undercut in the Chief game. You know, those are the kind of things you have to avoid. You got to be able to win now, be where you're supposed to be, and handle that. And I think that it starts with the protection, making sure the right mic is called, making sure you understand what they're going to do. This is a match zone team all the way, right? So they don't play man-to-man. They play match zone. So when you come out into the routes, they match those routes. So you got to be precise at what you're going to do when you get in the route. You're not always going to have a guy. People say, well, just run pick plays. Well, you know, that's really great, except they're in a match zone. They're not worried about getting picked. They're worried about they're covering the guy once he enters their zone. So it's a little bit different.
So I mean, you said all the things that I thought they'd have to do, but they obviously can't do it. The receivers aren't getting free. Brady's pointing out the protection, but the guys are still twisting and getting free. It just seems, and I guess you can only run so many screens. Like, what is there any other gimmick or gadget play, slip
no,
screen,
I think,
whatever?
I think you got to execute better. I mean, it's like what Bill said in the documentary. At some point, we got to block and tackle. We got to do things better. I think that's the ultimate. You got to do things better. There's really no way around it. You just got to do things much better.
So, Mike, I wanted to ask you, because we were just talking about this, the finalists for the Centennial Hall of Fame class came out, and I know Jerry Jones went in there in 2017, so he's current owner of the Dallas Cowboys, but the list of 10 contributor finalists came in, and Robert Kraft was not even on the list as a finalist, and I don't know, I look around, I was looking at this panel, by the way, Bill Belichick's on the panel, and I'm thinking, how the hell can you not have Robert Kraft as one of the 10 finalists, given what he has accomplished?
You know, when you start talking about the Hall of Fame, I lose track of what people are talking about or what they're doing because I don't understand it. I mean, there's guys that are in there that I don't know how they got in there, and there's guys that aren't in there that I wonder why they're not. I mean, it took Charles Haley forever to get in there, and I couldn't figure that out. So, you know, I mean, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I don't have a vote in the Hall of Fame. You might want to get Peter King on and ask him.
So wait, so what kind of – if you were picking for the Hall of Fame – would it be as simple as you would know it right when you see it? It would be obvious to you? Like, would it be a case where if you had to think about it or discuss it amongst other people, they're probably not Hall of Famers?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you're driving to the stadium on Sunday and you're worried about that player, that guy's a Hall of Famer. You know, when you're thinking about game planning on Tuesday and you got to work your game plan around that player, that guy's a Hall of Famer, you know? It's not necessarily always the numbers. It's the impact he has on the game plan. It's the impact he has on how you want to play the game. I think all those are what leads you to the Hall of Fame. I mean, look, guys are in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Peyton Manning has a wing of people that he put in the Hall of Fame based on what on the winning that's been around them.
You know, we had a Bill on Monday. We were just talking about that guy. We're talking about the he was on with also had that thing with Nick Saban. But he started talking about all the, I guess, people, coaches, you know, management, staff, when he was with the Cleveland Browns. And you were obviously there. And he started talking about just telling stories about even Dimitroff, because Nick Saban was there. And Dimitroff, I think, was a groundskeeper, right?
Yeah, he used to cut Nick's grass. He used to cut Pat Hill. Pat Hill and I go back together. We were at UNLV, my first job. And we brought Pat on and it was a brilliant, brilliant move by Bill. We brought Pat Hill on as a pro personnel scout, but he worked with the offensive lineman, the backup offensive lineman in practice. So, you know, when the line coach, Kirk Friends, would end practice, he'd go in and get ready. Pat Hill would stay out there and work with the younger players, and it really helped our team. We developed a ton of offensive linemen, especially considering that Kozar all said to the Cleveland media that none of us knew a thing about drafting offensive linemen, and we ended up having one of the best lines in football.
So, Mike, getting back, I just want to get back to this game and the importance of it here tomorrow. Can the New England Patriots get to the Super Bowl if they don't have a bye?
I think it's always hard to win three. You know, it's always hard. But I think, look, they have a defense that can get there. They have special teams that they can get there. And a lot of it's going to come down to how well they can start moving the football and control the game with their offense. They're not going to get there punting eight times, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
They're going to have to find ways to move the ball. The starting field position is going to have to be better. This week, really, this game's about vertical field position. It's about how we can play the game on a short field, capitalize on that, move the ball when we have the opportunity. You know, if we go in there and play on a long field, you know, I mean, the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, the starting point of that game was a 24-yard line. Well, that Steve Weatherford should have won the MVP of that Super Bowl. There's no doubt. I mean, Eli got it because of one throw. But the reality of it is, this is the punter won that game.
All right, listen, he's Mike Lombardi. Mike, listen, appreciate you joining us.
Let's get a pick. We got a pick from you?
Well, from this game this weekend?
Yeah, who wins?
I think it's going to be a three-point game. I'm going to go with New England. I think New England will win a close game. I think this is what they're built for. It's the perfect situation. I think it'll be a defensive struggle. Both offenses will find a hard time making consistent plays on a possession basis. But I like the Patriots to win two of the three phases. I think they'll win the game.
All right, Mike. Listen, man. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Same to you guys. Bye.
All right. Thanks for joining us. That's Mike Lombardi. All right. When we come back, we'll continue to take a look back at some of the fun time we had, some segments that we had, including a couple of prank calls.
Oh, yeah.
From the big fella over here, And one actually where the big fella, Christian Fourier, got pranked himself. You'll hear that next on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tom Caron, Jim Rice. They were talking about Mitch Moreland and how well he's been playing and how clutch he's been. Jim Rice gives this analysis.
He stayed in. The body's not, we call it bail and whelling. He did not bail and whell on that ball, that first home run he hit. That ball was right down the poop shooter.
You go back to 2017.
Listen to TC. Boy,
three hand, I tell you what, Tom Brady, he threw that ball like it was right out of the poop shooter.
And I got a whole slew of reindeer. One of them might appear to be weird. He's funky. Yeah. So let's take a ride, baby.
Yeah. Who is that?
This is Bootsy Collins.
Bootsy Collins.
Yeah. Don't ask.
No idea who it is. I have no idea who Bootsy Collins is.
And that was, you hated this song 2 days ago.
Speaking of Bootsies, that was Jim Rice talking about a ball right down to poop shooter.
Which I like
thought
that.
Which we thought was nice.
Which is a, when's the last time you heard that phrase used?
Well, I've used it, but I mean,
On live television?
No, not on live television.
Boston Sports, maybe calling a game. Well, hey, no. Joe, that ball right down the poop shooter.
Right down the pooper. Right down the crapper.
Actually, when I hear it, I'm amazed that he said it.
Yeah. Well, you hear TC afterwards and move on.
Like, he's been doing this for a long time. And we all make mistakes. I get it. But poop shooter?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. So we got, we've been going back today, just a few segments that made us laugh during the year. Christian did an amazing thing. What was it? A month ago. It was November 13th.
Does that sound right? Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Something like that where you had a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Raising money, awareness for diabetes.
Yep.
Amazing 2-day event. That first day, I believe from the 9 to 10 or 10 to 11 hour, it was just you and your wife, you and Kim. And you called it, was it the love hour?
Well, it was what, 10 to 11, because then you guys came on, you and Steph came on from 11 to 12. Yeah, it was basically our version of Love Lines. We weren't allowed to use Love Lines because of trademark. So, yeah, it was like a call-in helpline for people with sex questions.
So I was actually here because we got here about 10:45 before we were about to go on, had the headsets on, hanging out with you guys during the break. When this guy called in live, and I had absolutely no clue who it was.
All right, so we're going to go to Dimitri in Danvers. Dimitri, you're on with Kim and Christian.
Mr. Foyer, Mrs. Foyer, good job today.
Hold on, stop it real quick. I'm sorry. I didn't bring it back.
Yeah.
The fact that I didn't know who this guy was at the time, the fact that you didn't know who this guy was at the time,
no idea.
Now that we know that was our big fella, the round mound of sound, how the hell did we not know that this was Glenn Ordway?
I had
no clue. Did you?
No, I had absolutely zero clue.
But when I hear it, I'm like, how did I not hear this?
Wait, how did you guys know? You guys weren't even here.
Oh, yeah, we knew.
What, you knew that was him right away?
When you heard it the next day? Or were you listening at 11:30 at night? At 11:30 at night?
Cool. I knew because Glenn texted me for the hotline number. So that's how I knew.
All right, so anyways, let's go back in time now and let's listen to this.
All right, so we're going to go to Dimitri in Danvers. Dimitri, you're on with Kim and Christian.
Mr. Foyer, Mrs. Foyer, a very good job today. Excellent job today. Terrific. You talk about old people shouldn't have sex. I'm 82 years old. I'm single, actually widowed. The wife passed away a few years ago. But I have lady friend, and okay. we do the deed all the time. We do it on top of wash machine,
oh.
a Whirlpool washing machine.
Nice.
You feel the vibration, very good. But I have a problem.
Okay, what is it?
Problem. The wash machine, the Whirlpool wash machine, it broke. What do I do?
Oh.
The wash machine broke.
I get her a wand.
I don't know wand. Where do I get wand?
It's a tool used by women to promote the same effect as a washing machine.
Does Whirlpool sell it? So if I call like Boss Buy, in yep. Danvers, yep. I call Boss Buy, I say I need one. Do they direct me where to go, aisle, whatever?
Nah, you know, though, if you ask the right person, and thanks, Dimitri.
No, it's not Fourier, it's Chuck.
That is so cringeworthy.
How did you not know that that was Glenn Ordway?
Oh, my God.
How did I not know that that was Glenn Ordway? The bush by.
The bush by, but they tell me what aisle
I
go
call bush by. I say, I need one.
The Whirlpool sell it.
I'm amazed.
You feel the vibration.
I mean, you're the prankster. Give, what's the grade?
A plus.
We do it on top of right? wash machine.
I had no clue. No clue. When you hear it, it's easy to hear it, that it's Glenn.
Yeah.
Now.
It's so easy.
At 11:40 at night, oh, man, I just he got me.
It's kind of like if you hear you and you figure, how the hell could I yeah. possibly think it was somebody other than you?
Yeah, Mr. Foy.
Like, for example, when you called in to the David Glenn show, when the Bruins were in the postseason.
That's right.
Playing Carolina. So you called down to Carolina, and this freaking guy exposed himself to be one of the biggest hardos I have ever heard.
Yeah, who's the guy's name again? Who was it?
This is the David Glenn show.
David Glenn show. Yeah, so we're going to play this one. We're not just going to play the prank. We're going to play the actual segment of us playing the prank.
Yes.
So there's a lot of in and out, lots of stopping and laughing, but still, I think some of my best work.
Chuck, welcome to the David Glenn Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, guy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's
Wait,
on your mind?
Stop it right there. Lou? Yeah. Lou?
Hi,
come on.
Hi. How are you?
Lou? So, come on.
Here's the problem, because I heard you on hold when you called.
Hey, how you doing?
And the guy's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm Chuck, just down here. Oh, you a Bruins fan? Yeah. And he's talking like this. Yeah, I'm just a Bruins fan, you know. So the producer's probably listening. I just talked to this guy, and he's like, yeah, I know the Bruins. You must hate us, huh? Yeah. Back and forth. The minute you go on the air. Yeah, hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
No, but
He toned it down a little bit.
Hey, how you doing?
A little bit. That yeah.
I learned my lesson, so I'm coachable.
Okay. All right.
So
I like it.
You could pass the way you introduce yourself. Go ahead.
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
All right. Well, you know what? I'm up here in Charlotte. I'm working up here, but I'm a Boston guy. And
congratulations on the win.
I'm dead in a decent town up here, but wait, what a pathetic excuse for a hockey town. I mean, like, you guys think you know hockey, but I've never heard rednecks talk hockey before. So I'm
Hold on. Stop it there.
Wait a second.
You can't call in Raleigh and call them rednecks. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Oh, it's great. How did they respond to this one?
Wait a second. What do you mean?
I've never heard rednecks talk hockey before. So I'm kind of weirded out by it. Not really sure how to handle it.
Well, let's see. I have a syndicated... Hold on. Chuck. This is not called the Chuck Show. This is not called the Chuck Show, okay? So stop being what they call a masshole.
You know,
Chuck, I was raised in Philadelphia. I've been playing and watching hockey since I was 4 years old, Chuck.
No redneck there.
Want to have a man-to-man hockey contest? You want to play that game?
That's a battle of
wits. All right. How
battle of wits?
Yeah.
Fourier challenges guy, David Glenn, to a battle of hockey
over
wits.
Me. I was like, yeah, battle of wits. Let's go.
How many Stanley Cups do the Bruins have since 1972? I'll give Chuck one more chance to answer. You have one more chance to answer, Chuck. I'm from Philly.
Oh.
Right out of the gate, you're not only obnoxious, you're false. I am filled with hockey knowledge.
I like this.
I have been at it for 5 decades. I host an everyday syndicated radio show across the great state.
Oh, my God. Oh,
this guy's a lot older than I am.
If you answer correctly, I'll let you follow up. If you don't answer correctly, I will hang up on you unapologetically. How many cups since 1972 have the Bruins won?
Philly boy.
How many times? He's done. He's done. The answer is one.
I got it in.
I tell you what,
that guy gave you the whole resume. I am full of hockey knowledge. I'm from Philly.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, you're from Philly. Wow.
5 decades.
I am filled with hockey knowledge.
The fact is that, you know, I challenged him right away. I insulted him right away, and right off the bat, he was defensive.
I'm
and
from
agitated.
Philly.
How dare you talk about me right
this
now?
This is not called the Chuck Show.
That was good.
Want to have a man-to-man hockey contest?
Give me Nick and Chickabee real quick, because I don't think I agree with him at all.
All right, but Nick. Go ahead, pal. You're on the OMF. What'd you think?
Who's
better?
Nick? Am I annoying? Who are you talking to?
Go ahead, Nick.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I heard Ordway's voice, so I was a little confused. I didn't know if I was on or still listening. All right, so what I was going to say, I didn't know that prank call was Ordway at all until, like, the next day, and it was revealed. I was loving it. So, anyways, I was loving that prank call. I was like, wow, it's so funny. And I've heard a lot of the prank calls, and right now I would say, hands down, Ordway with that one prank call is owning all prank calls because he got everybody. He got everybody.
On, for the
what
record.
Really, really sold it was him saying his name was Sergey.
Dimitri.
I have lady friend.
No, here, for the record, though,
yeah,
I got
lady friend.
I have called into this show before. I have called into this show before from the hallway pranking you guys, and you didn't know it.
Very good.
For the record. So let's not act like I haven't done this for him. No, A+ for Ordway.
Yeah, that was good. That does sound a little jealous.
I called boss by.
Big fella?
It was good.
Ordway getting some props.
Here's for you. First of all, the fact that he called in proves that he has FOMO. We asked him to come on the show. We asked him to be part of the whole the wives air their grievances. He said no, but you know what? He couldn't resist, so we called in anyway. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do this again.
I'm 82 years old. I'm single.
We're going to do this again. We're going to have me, you, and Steph on again, and we're bringing Sarah and Ordway. A little dinner right after our show ends. We come back around 11 o'clock, and we do the exact same show with all six of us.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Feel the vibration.
We could do like the 10 to midnight shift. I think we might need 2 hours.
Oh,
like
man. I don't know.
We might need that. All right, listen, we're going back in some of the special times, things that make us laugh. When we come back, we'll continue to, you know, again, last hour and a half here, getting you ready for the weekend. But Pats are still on the table. Big game tomorrow against Buffalo. But, you know, I think I've done a telethon maybe for 10 years, maybe 11. And every once in a while, you meet someone special, someone different. And I think we did that this year. When we come back, you're going to hear from someone that we met, Carly Tobin. We'll do that next.
Back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, welcome back to OMF. It's Merlone and Fourier. No Ordway today. We're getting you ready for the weekend. Just taking you back to some of the moments that we remember, some laughs and some good times. We've got more to come, by the way. At 5:30, an hour from now, we're going to give you some of the best of Bill Belichick's interviews with us.
Yes.
Or I should say the most awkward.
Yeah, Belichick, be specific. When you say best, we mean most awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, we have another Christian calls it next hour as well, and a couple little angry Lou's kind of tied in there together as well. But every year, of course, The Jimmy Fund Telethon is a huge success. Again, we thank everybody for contributing, making another amazing success. And Dana Farber and all that they do. And, of course, Lisa Sherber, who's an angel sent down to all of us to look out over all of us. And you meet some amazing people, some great stories, courageous. It's always amazing when you meet the kids and how the families and the kids with their support. And a lot of them, sometimes you feel like they care more about how the families are feeling with given what they're going through. It's truly amazing. Once in a while, I know I've done it for a long, long time, and you meet somebody that kind of just hits you, you know, that you listen to, and you're amazed at the strength or the outlook that some of these kids have. Well, we met Carly Tobin this year, and at 10 years old, she was diagnosed with Wilms tumor, stage 3 cancer. She had a tumor in a kidney. It was a 9-hour procedure to take that out, and tough road, but it didn't stop her because she is amazing. little girl, and we talked to her at the Jimmy
Fund. So you have treatment now until December, is that true?
I do, and to be honest, it's flying by so much because, you know, there are so many amazing people at the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. They all make it fun having cancer. Like, no one wants to have cancer, but they make it so much fun, and they make so many amazing things happen when a challenge in your life is happening, and it's just amazing and wonderful to have the experience, and I'm going to beat cancer's butt.
Jeez.
Yeah, she was something
tough
else.
As nails.
She actually is a little entrepreneur, too. Remember, she had a little slime business?
Yes, that's right.
But what
right.
she does with her earnings is amazing.
So you got a slime business now, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is the slime? I know the what? Slime, but how do you slime make money business. On a slime? You sell it online?
Yeah,
right?
So...
Really?
Not yet I'm selling online, but that's a plan of mine, a goal. But right now I've been going to...
Local events.
Yeah, local events.
There are local slime events?
Yeah. No. Well, there's like craft fairs and farmers markets. Yeah. So I go there to sell my slime, and then all the proceeds from my slime go to charity. So
awesome.
I've done St. Jude's, and I've also done a charity called Hope for Paws, and it's rescuing pets in need that need home and love. And then after this event, I'm going to do Dana-Farber.
I love this
Jeez.
Kid.
Oh, wow.
I love this kid. This kid has got it together.
I feel like I am, like, being lazy.
Yeah, I do, too.
Like, I need to, I do, too.
I need to do more with my life.
I'm so underdeveloped in my after-school abilities.
So it's funny you mention the slime business, because my daughter has about 200 containers of slime, and I want to throw them out. But apparently I shouldn't do that. They're worth money.
You can wholesale them.
Yeah.
I mean, we get together.
Off market.
Get my people together with your people.
Yeah.
Well, she was amazing. I can tell you this, too. A little update that she recently received a clean bill of health. No more chemo. Chemo port comes out, I think, in a couple of weeks, and she's doing great. She's got to check up every 3 months or so to make sure that she is clean. But good news with Carly, an amazing girl. I'm glad to see she's feeling
fantastic.
Much better.
It brings me back to just thinking about that story and all the stuff that she's done, all the things that she continues to do. And it's so hard to have a positive attitude. I know everyone says, you know, you got to be positive. But it's a lot harder than you think, because every day you're just faced with new challenges, old challenges that you haven't gotten over yet or figured out how to get over or around. So the fact that at such a young age, she's just so, I don't know, grown up.
Mm. Yeah, that was
amazing.
I would say that was one of the toughest ones. And it wasn't because of her.
You think that one was the tough one to get through? Why?
Just because it was.
She's awesome.
Well, I know. That's what I mean. It was amazing to listen to someone of her age speaking the way she did. I thought that was the toughest.
See, she made it really easy for me, at least. Because sometimes some kids come in, the parents come in, and they're just not in good shape, or maybe the prognosis isn't great, or it's unknown. She didn't care. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know she was sick or how tough her morning was or her night was. It was just positivity all the way through.
Yeah. So that was Carly Tobin. Again, a lot more to come here.
We do need to do something real quick.
What do we need to do?
Because you mentioned something. I see Eddie in the car waiting. But you mentioned Ordway is gone on Friday again.
And you were mentioning that with Lombardi.
Yes.
Every Friday.
He was sick once, and he's missed the last two. But this would be the last two. This would be three.
Load management.
Maybe. So is that what it is?
Maybe it was Eddie in the car wants to talk about this. Eddie, go ahead, pal. You're on OMF.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, you guys know this, but Ordway, all he does is whine when everybody takes a day off. Whines and whines and whines. But as I'm sitting here, I listened to him yesterday. I'm going to be off tomorrow. I said to myself, you're going to be off again? So today I said, you know what? That's 4 day Ordway.
Yeah.
That's what call him. 4 day Ordway.
I like that.
I think we've just adopted that.
He likes to give you guys a hard time.
No, I'm with you. You can't do it again. I like that nickname, 4 Day Ordway.
Yeah,
as I said that, we got Lombardi again.
And whenever he takes a day off, he says, I'm going to be off tomorrow, you need a plane in the background.
Yeah.
Just keep sticking. He's playing it.
Wait,
and listen,
say it again. Say it again clean for us real quick. What's his nickname?
4 Day Ordway.
There you go. I love that.
Say it with Ordway. Well, say it in Ordway's voice.
Say it in Ordway's voice.
I'm not sure I can do it, but I'll tell you what. That story that I just heard about the old guy telling the sex story,
yeah, Dimitri.
I didn't know until today that that was fake, and I had no idea it was Ordway. It was unbelievable. I heard it when it was done. I couldn't believe it. I was beside myself laughing my unibutt off. Listen, tomorrow,
yeah,
none of us are going to be surprised if one of two things happen.
Go ahead.
Okay? We're not going to be surprised if the Patriots' defense shows up and shuts down Buffalo. And none of us are going to be surprised if Buffalo shows up tomorrow and they kick the crap out of the Patriots.
I don't know.
Kick
the offense?
Crap out. I would be surprised. I would say, looking at that game tomorrow, the advantages, right? Bill, again, same thing. Bill, Brady, you're at Gillette. That's the advantages. Because I wouldn't say your defense is a huge advantage. It's an advantage. Are they slightly better than Buffalo?
Well, it's funny because, you know, Lombardi really breaks it down. He is a short passer, and that's it. That's it. He's short, quick passes. Anything downfield, he's one. Do you guys, I almost brought this up when we were talking to Lombardi. So when I used to do college football, we used to have a ton of Wyoming games. We had a bunch of Wyoming games when he was, when he had all these great receivers that went into the NFL. And then we actually covered the following year when he had no receivers. He was so bad. We used to talk to the guys that were calling the games before halftime or during halftime, and all of them would say how bad he is, how inaccurate he is. They'd see him at practice. They saw all his games. They talked to his coaches. So when the buzz was going around about how this guy was going to go in the first round, I'm like, I don't see it. I mean, he's an athlete. He is.
Well, you remember in that game when he went out, was it, I don't know if Allen did that in the second half, or was it Barkley came out and just started taking the short passes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they started moving the ball. And I threw that pick at the end of that game in that final drive that ended the game. Right? But going back to, like, just the advantages, like, that's the Patriots' advantages. The Bills' advantages is they can run the football. You know, because that's the kind of what we've seen. I'm sorry. I've still seen the kind of like the weakness in the Patriots' defense, running the football. You got a quarterback that can run with the football and make plays. So that's, you know, I don't like the
there,
game
there
for,
is,
for the Patriots.
They're just as limited as you are offensively. It looks different. But
they can run better.
Okay, fine.
I think they can run against
your
defense, and I don't think the Patriots can really run against these guys.
Cincinnati comes out, and they decide, we're going to run it down your throat. We don't care what you do. We're just going to run it. The moment they started deviating from that, or as soon as they got into a situation where it wasn't 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 2, they were screwed. So if you want to run with that philosophy, you better get 4 to 5 yards in your first down.
All right, let's go to Ron in a car. Ron, go ahead, pal. You're on OMF.
Hey, guys. I just want to give you the four-day Ordway in his voice for you. All right?
Okay. Go ahead.
Ordway.
Go ahead.
He's four-day Ordway. He's four-day Ordway.
Very good.
I need more. Okay, give me a question in four-day Ordway voice.
A question?
No, I want you to, this whole interaction right here has to be in Ordway voice.
Hey, Ron, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand
hey,
what
sir.
You mean. 4 day Ordway. I'm here every day.
Hey, sir, they don't get it yet. I've taken 3 straight Fridays off. I'll get next Friday off, too. Maybe January 3rd, I might take that off, too.
I was sick the whole time.
He's four-day Ordway.
That's all he's got.
Thanks, Ron. That's enough. That's all I need. I like it.
I'm working Howard Stern schedule.
Let's go to Rob, who's up in New Hampshire. Apparently, he's a Bills fan. Let me guess. Go ahead, pal.
Hey, Lou. How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, listen. I have just like the Bills, I have a lot of confidence in the Bills beating the Patriots tomorrow. And the main reason because I think Brian Daboll is going to control Josh Allen with the short passing game and get rid of the ball. And I really think the physicality of the defense the Bills are going to show to the Patriots, I think will do it. It's going to be close, no doubt about it. However, going forward and being a realist about the Bills get to the playoffs, I don't think that going forward that Josh Allen can lead them that far into the playoffs at this point in time. But however, I think they're going to make a real, real serious problem for the Patriots tomorrow.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of us.
And I think their biggest asset is his ability to run. Now, remember, he got knocked out of the game last time because he didn't know how to slide, because he was too aggressive, because he was too dead set in his ways and, you know, and making a difference. So they knocked him out of the game. And I remember, I think there was a flag on that play also, but it was all Josh Allen's fault. He slid too late, and it was a clean hit. Remember, there was almost a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be surprised.
I've heard people say, I think, doing TV that night, one of the what-ifs, right? What if Josh Allen didn't get hurt? Did they win that game? So if Josh Allen didn't get hurt, they lose that game by more.
He throws two more picks.
Yeah, that's what I'm, right? I mean, I know Barkley threw a pick there to end that game, yeah. But he was actually moving the football better than Josh Allen was at the time. Yeah. Now, we're 10 games later, right, or whatever it is, 11 games later, and Josh Allen's played well, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So, you know, he's got more experience. We'll see if it happens in a big game here at Gillette. But, you know,
he just
that day, if he stayed in the game, he would have thrown two more, not one.
You know, you can look at it. People were, like, tweeting at me going, you know, he doesn't even throw a lot of interceptions. He's got 9 for the year. 3 was in your game. 3 was in the first game early in September. But that's the least of it, that there's he'll throw a go route to the Z on the outside, right outside the numbers, and the guy will be open. He'll throw the ball out of bounds, not because he's trying to throw it away, because he's so inaccurate. His angles are, rifles everything is on a rope.
I want to go to Tim in the car because he wants to bring something up here. Tim, go ahead, pal. You're on OMF.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You guys teased me earlier in the show when you went back to the Stanley Cup Finals and you're talking about Chara being Dunsky.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of at that particular time was you were going to talk about Tristan's impression of Chara doing the motivational speech with his jaw wired shut. Funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I don't even remember that.
I do, Tim. And you know what? Just for you, we're going to give it to you right now. How's that?
It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
All right. This is a pump-up speech from Zdeno Chara. The impersonation of Christian Fourier, other way around. Here it is.
Gather around. Okay, listen, I know that you guys think that you can't do this without me, but I'm here to tell you, you can. You can do it. And put your hands in right now and let go. Let go. Don't touch. Hey, don't stand on the beam. Don't stand on the beam.
That sounded just like him. That sounded just like him.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm going to play no matter what. I'm going to play. Now they say I'm Dunsky, but I'm not. Let's go. With me.
I don't care what for you, sir.
Let's go.
I'm not Dunsky.
No. I get to see Marshawn and all the other Bergeron going, what the hell? We really have to listen to this? Hey, so I heard there was an inspirational speech by Zdeno Chara. Can you tell us a little something about it? You know what? I have no idea what he was saying. It was a lot of, and it didn't make any sense, but we could see his face. His face meant business.
All right, listen, we got 30 minutes uninterrupted sports.
Are you guys think that you can't do this with Elmer? But I'm here to tell you, you can.
We got a would you rather from one of Christian Fourier's, whatever Christian calls it, Thursdays. Couple little Angry Lou segments, one from the trade deadline when the Red Sox did absolutely nothing. And don't forget, at 5:30, you're going to hear the best or the most awkward of one Bill Belichick interviews. When OMF continues right after this.
You can't do it. Put your hands in right now and let go. Let go. Don't touch. Hey, don't stand on the beam. Don't stand on the beam.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.